I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke tonight. I'm going to preach on the topic of prayer. And the title of my message is The First Prayer of Jesus. And Luke chapter number 3. How many of you prayed today? You remember when Dr. Beckham used to ask that to us? That's convicting. Did you pray today? That's convicting. He bothered me when he asked that. But I prayed. And because he kept challenging us in our prayer life, I still want to preach on prayer for different times. And I really think it's critical. We're halfway through this revival month. Got about 3 more main services left. And we need to be encouraged to pray and to talk to the Lord. You know, getting an answer from your prayer is a benefit. It's a perk. It's an extra blessing outside of just getting to talk to God. And I think many people approach prayer as genie in a bottle. And a little, you know, ooh, got my wish. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is asking. But in your relationship, if you're saved, we are to learn and grow that He is our Heavenly Father. And that relationship that Jesus had with him is the standard. It's the picture to look at. In Luke 3, look at verse 21. Just a little nugget here that I caught and thought it was important. Look at verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, now obviously I can't speak like God, but you know, use your God voice here. Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Here on this day, the Trinity is revealed. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. All three are witnessed and heard and sensed and felt on this day. Jesus, being moved by the Spirit later on in chapter 4, he'll be moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now leading him to go to the wilderness to starve for 40 days and 40 nights in fasting and praying. The Spirit moved him to do that. But here is a time where he's getting baptized to fulfill righteousness, to be an example of what how we should follow him and all the things he did in obedience and his relationship to the Lord Jesus, his Father. And on this day, the Bible said, all the people being baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying. And there's those two words. And praying. Never noticed it really before till the Lord showed this to me. This is the first prayer of the Lord. First prayer of Jesus. What did he say? Well, we don't know. But we know what happened when he prayed. And that's what I want to draw out. I wish I did know what he said. But I know that we have God Almighty speaking from the portals of heaven, telling him that you are my beloved Son and I am well pleased with you. And he's getting baptized and he's praying. Now, I've been baptized after I got saved. Amen. I also got baptized before I got really saved. Now, I had a preacher friend of mine who used to say, you can get baptized in every creek all across the country until every tadpole in the water knows your social security number, but that won't save you. That's a lot to remember, but I do remember him saying that. But after I truly got saved when I was 19, I realized there was a need for me to re-identify with Christ and be in that baptismal pool and show that I have died spiritually awakened, alive again, buried in baptism, raised in newness of life. So I got baptized again. You know, the early Baptist church were called Anabaptists, they're rebaptizers, because they didn't follow the Catholic doctrine, and there was an importance to them not being baptized as a baby. You know, a baby can't believe to be baptized. Babies can't call upon the name of the Lord. They can be sprinkled, they can be christened, but they can't believe. So this group said, we need to rebaptize the believers. And that's the basis of our Baptist faith. Those Anabaptizers, those rebaptizers. And I believe we trace it all the way back to moments like this moment right here of them being baptized unto repentance. But here I want to look at this because in Luke chapter number 1, you don't have to turn here, you might want to write the notes if you want to, but Luke 1, it says this, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Watched him praying and said, Lord, teach us to do that. Teach us to pray like you're praying. Teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. See, John had disciples following him. And when Jesus came, there was a day that John would change his ministry and he began to point everybody to Jesus as the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. And these disciples said, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. John taught his disciples to pray. And so I hope we can learn from Jesus praying like the disciples desired. I know this is not one of those wonderful subjects. Everybody, I just can't wait to hear about prayer. I can't wait to hear preaching on prayer. Some of the most powerful preaching in need of our life is to be reminded of our prayer life, our prayer time. When you really get to spending time with the Lord in prayer, and it's not about getting answers all the time from God, but it's about the fellowship, it's about His presence, it's about you growing in that relationship, you will get closer and closer to the Lord. It'll make your salvation, as I preached on this morning, it will be enriched. Your relationship, your life will be closer to the Lord. So we'll look at this passage of Scripture, that one little thought, and praying reminds me that this is the first prayer of Jesus. And in this first prayer of Jesus, number one, heaven was opened. And I think that's something we need to learn from our prayer life. When we go, as he said, at this manner pray ye, as he taught his disciples to pray, he said, pray after this manner pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, he prayed. That's how he wants us to open up. Not in repetition and memorizing every letter, which you can memorize it if you'd like to, but if it is nothing but robotics and repetition, but it's not relationship, you don't need to repeat those. That's nothing different than like a monk chant. Our Father which art in heaven, if that's all it is to you. But if you get down and pray and say, man, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Well, you just really say, I'm going to get into the throne of grace. I want to think about that this really is God Almighty, my heavenly Father. That could change your prayer life. It could change it when you realize closet prayer time would be something you would hunger for and desire to get along with God. But if all you got is windshield time driving down the road because you're so busy, you could say, Lord, I'm glad that you're my Father. You can get right in this vehicle with me. You can walk right with me. You can travel right with me. Heaven was opened. Think about what all comes from heaven, this place. And this is an idea to understand that I want heaven open in my prayer life. I want God to send things from heaven down here on this earth. And in the context of Matthew chapter 6, we call the Lord's Prayer, which is really the disciples' prayer, teaching them to pray it. We are to meditate in prayer and focus on God's will in heaven being done on this earth. Right? You should pray that. You might not remember every word, but that should be your prayer. Lord, I pray your will from heaven, heaven being opened, your will, as you have designed it and desired it in heaven, bring it down here in the lives of my children. Wow, what a powerful prayer. How about that? Instead of, Lord, don't just strike them from with lightning from above, zap them good, shake them over hell, wake them up. Maybe you should say, Lord, open the heavens. And may heaven come down and enter into their life and let them be aware of the presence of God. And that would wake them up. That'd be a great prayer, wouldn't it? If heaven opened up, it would flip your life and my life upside down. And I'm going to give you an understanding here. This is Deuteronomy 28, 23, going all the way back to the Old Testament. This is a phrase I know some of you have heard before. The heavens being brass. You ever heard that prayer before, that phrase before? Deuteronomy 28, 23. And by heaven, this is a curse from God telling the people of Israel what he was going to do in their life. Sending a drought, stopping the rain, drying up the earth, keeping them from having food, getting their attention by taking something from them, getting their attention by closing up heaven and making it like brass metal up there instead of open and being able to have a relationship and being able to receive from God. And he says, thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and be brought, the earth we brought closed and dried, no answer and no pleas heard. And that's where that phrase comes from. I don't know about you, but I have lived in this Christian life a few days more than I'd like to count, where the heavens were brass, where I could not seemingly feel God. I could not get a prayer answered, and it didn't seem like God was listening or hearing, helping or caring. If you've ever been there, that's a hard place to be. But you go by faith then, knowing none of those things are true. Now, the heavens may be brass for a reason, and they may feel that way, and there may be a sinful reason in your life. It may be God is trying to sanctify you and draw you closer to him, but there is a reason. But I promise you, God changes not. He's the same God. It's our life that keeps altering and changing. It's our life that gets hot and cold and lukewarm. And here is Jesus being baptized by John, fulfilling the will of God. He's in the Jordan River. And then the Holy Ghost comes in a visible symbol like a dove and just lights down on him. Like putting a little symbol on him that there he is. And then the voice comes out of heaven. So heaven opens up here this day. And I want you to understand in our prayer lives, as this is the first prayer of Jesus that he's ever prayed recorded in the Bible. I do not believe it's the first time he ever prayed, but it's the first one ever recorded. And as he does this, heaven is opened. I want to pray and heaven be opened to me. I don't want to pray and it be closed. That's the opposite of open, right? I know this is deep theology. That's the opposite. I'm tired of praying and it feels like heaven's closed. Heaven's not open for business. Prayers are not being answered anymore. The Lord's coming back. Some people act like that. God is finished. God is done. And that's what the devil whispers to us, to discourage us, to defeat us. And here Jesus prays. It just gives that little phrase. Jesus being baptized and praying. Boy, I'm glad I didn't overlook that. Because I see as he did this little prayer, whatever it was, it might have been, Father, help me to please you. It could have been he was praying before that and during that. He could have been praying, may you be glorified in my life. May this day someone, may Preacher Brian, 2,000 years in the future, let him catch this. That boy's going to need it. Amen. I don't know. His prayers are not limited like ours, like we are. But he prayed and heaven was open and not closed this day. It was a time where heaven has been described to be like brass and harsh and hard and not open. But heaven is open for business this time when Jesus is praying and Holy Ghost is descending. What a wonderful thing here that you could glean out of this. I encourage you, if you've been discouraged in your prayer life and you feel like heaven was closed, it's after hours, or it went out of business, or it was just God boarded up the sky and you can't get no answers, then you need to seek him even more. And you need to ask him, God, help restore it, where I'm not asking for something all the time and I'm always looking for something I can gain from this in a physical or material world. But let our relationship get stronger. May I want your name glorified. May I want to feel your presence. God, please remove all the brass from the heavens and open heaven again. Heaven was open. When heaven is open, there's just blessings and things that can happen. We don't even have time to even preach about it and describe it. But I'm going to tell you this. When heaven opens in your own individual heart, you'll feel it. You'll know it. I've seen heaven open in people's lives, and it was evident as soon as they came to church. You could tell they've been praying, and that heaven was open and not closed. I know that's deep theology, but it is effective theology. I've watched people come in and it looked like their whole life was closed down. And I've seen God opened up heaven in their life and blessed their soul and encouraged them. And if you were fighting and laboring in prayer and you felt like God moved back the brass curtain and opened it up for you that very moment, I think you'd notice it. I think it would affect you. You ever heard that phrase, praying through? It gets its connection to stuff like this. Praying through. That importunate prayer, that repetitive prayer, that over and over begging God and not giving up when heaven goes from closed to open. You say, well, Lord, preacher, Jesus and his Father, duh, it was always open. Oh, we could take you to the book of Luke. The book of John, and the book of Mark, and Matthew. We're on the cross. He goes from calling him Father to saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, he knows what it's like to pray when the heavens are closed. And what a beautiful thing when they reopened after he committed his life. He gave himself on the cross. There was a pivotal moment. One of the last sayings, he said, Father, again. He didn't just say, my God. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. The heaven was opened again. Would you be willing to pray that God would open up the heavens in your heart, your soul, your prayer life? Heaven was opened here on this day. Number two, the Holy Ghost descended. The Holy Ghost here in this scripture, the Holy Ghost descends. Where did he descend from? Now, this is deep theology. Descend means come from above, right? Ascend means leave from down and go upward. The Holy Ghost was in heaven in that time frame between now and the book of Acts when people got saved. If you ever studied the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit of God moved on top of people and influenced their bodies almost like puppets. But the Holy Spirit did not indwell in you and I or in a person. The only one of its kind in that pivotal transitional time was John the Baptist as a little baby in his mother's womb. God allowed him to be birthed into this world with one purpose in mind, and he came to be a bulldozer, to preach, to prepare the way of the Lord Jesus Christ and point people to him. And he was leaping in his mother's womb with joy, filled with the Holy Ghost. That's a powerful transition. But all other times in Old Testament back, like Samson when he pulled down the gates and when Samson killed people and the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him when he fought the enemies of Israel. The Spirit of God moved on people. Now that you and I are saved believers, the Holy Spirit indwells and lives and continually abides within the believer. Now to me, that's better than what they had. But there are times you may still feel empty. There are times you may not feel the presence of God. But here, as Jesus has left heaven to be born a physical birth in the womb of Mary and to grow up, and now his ministry starts at the age of 30, here in this moment of obedience and seeking the Lord and praying right there, heaven opens up and the Holy Ghost comes down. That's pretty good, isn't it? Would you be and say, Lord, I want that in my prayer life. I want to pray and heaven open and the Holy Ghost come down. The Holy Ghost descend. The Holy Ghost would scare the average Baptist pretty bad. You say, was the Holy Ghost real loud? No, he's not audible. He's louder than that. You won't be able to put out other sounds if he's really trying to get your attention. I've heard him very strongly in conviction, where I could hear nothing else. I tried to drown it out with work, tried to drown it out with this, and tried to drown it out with that, but he kept using that still small voice to draw me to my need of salvation. But there's a thought here about the Holy Ghost being this part of the Trinity. And the Holy Ghost is what the Bible calls the Comforter. And he's the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God. And he lives in you and I as believers. And there's an idea for that's taught in the Scriptures. Once we are saved and we're born again, we are to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, we're not always filled with the Holy Ghost. We always have him. We always have him as a possession. Y'all understand what I'm saying? He lives in us as believers. But there are times he controls more of our life than others. So there are times that Brian's running the show a lot more. And then there are times the Holy Spirit's calling the shots and Brian submits and follows God. Those times the heaven is open, the Holy Ghost descends. That is here's Jesus Christ having what we might call a personal time of Pentecost that had not yet come. A personal time with the Spirit of God, the winds of the Spirit, the presence of God working. How many of you feel like you have felt the presence of God in your life before? If you haven't, you ought to ask that. God, I don't feel like I've ever known you that way. I've heard about you. I read it. I see it. There's other things, but to personally feel like I feel your presence as the strongest presence in the room, man, that's powerful. I've felt demonic presence before, and it's very dark. It's very evil. And maybe I identified it that way more because I had the Spirit of God living in me as a believer. Maybe I wouldn't have identified it that way as easily as an unbeliever. But I know it's real. And I tell you this, to have the power of the Spirit and the Holy Ghost descending down in your life in the midst of what you're doing, and in the time of context here, he's being baptized and he's praying. I can't get baptized over and over again. It really doesn't do any good. It has a testimonial effect, which he had. But we do know that Jesus didn't get baptized again, right? But we also know he prayed again and again and again. And again, he often resorted to the Garden of Gethsemane, right? He often resorted hither to go pray. He was known to get that time alone to go talk to his Father. And I believe that can encourage you and I that there'll be a time where the Holy Ghost could descend over many more times in our life. But we understand the Holy Spirit lives in us as believers, so we need God's presence and power to be revealed. We need to feel it. And there's a thought about being filled with the Holy Ghost, filled up with him. Amen. He doesn't descend upon us quite like that. He can move through a service, and I've heard old timers preach it. Boy, the power of God fell down tonight. Well, really what happened is it came up. It flowed out of your heart and your life as a believer because he lives inside of you and I. And when God begins to work in a service and people are obedient to him and they get in the altar and they crawl their way back to God and they get saved or whatever it might be under conviction or God's drawing them to a deeper walk with him, it's a personal thing where you can feel his presence. And the Holy Ghost is connected with so many things, and one of them is the anointing. And the oil that kings would be anointed with. You and I as believers can be anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. And that's not just some TV evangelistic preaching doctrine. That's real biblical doctrine. You can have the anointing power of God in your life. The Holy Ghost descending here in this verse. You need the Holy Ghost to move. He descended here. You need to feel his presence within you here. When you pray. And I wonder if you could make this, don't blurt it out loud, I'm not asking you to do that. If you could figure out, calculate, what is the percentage of prayer time that you have where you feel God? You feel his presence, where the Holy Ghost moves. Is most of it, Father, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. That's what I used to say because I had to rhyme with good. Or do you say, Lord, thank you for this food. Thank you for providing it. Lord, may it be put to your service and your strengthen my body and you would get glory out of my life. And he said, would the Holy Ghost move through my heart over a PB&J? Possibly. You ever been really thankful for something God has sent you? It might overflow your heart. I have given thanks for little bitty lunches before. Very thankful I had anything at all. And got to thinking about sometimes on my heart of gratitude how many did not have what I had. And there's that worship experience where if the Holy Ghost is sending, can you describe that as the Holy Ghost moving? I think we can. You need the Holy Ghost to move in your prayer life and to feel the presence of God in your prayer life and to have anointing on your own individual life. We desperately need this. If we had this kind of enriched prayer life, I think many of us would probably pray more. But we're used to not having it. And the devil doesn't want you to have it. He doesn't want you to get into this kind of prayer life because this is what opens up the heavens. And this is what moves the machinery of heaven. This is where answers come from. Number three, a heavenly voice in this verse. Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, do you understand now that other people heard this? This wasn't just Jesus. He said, that's real sweet. You can hear in voices while you pray, preacher. Everybody heard this. Everybody heard this voice come out of heaven. This was God's voice. But greater than that, this was his Father's voice. And I think, church, this is really where God wants us to understand. If your prayer life becomes where you feel like you're actually talking to your Heavenly Father, and you're just not talking to some far away, a billion miles away, some interstellar, universal God figure, but you're talking to your Heavenly Father, how that so changes our prayer life. I have seen some sunsets going down the road before. I may have even been working here at the church, but different times it just kind of caught my attention and said, man, thank you, Father. That's quite a gift. You see, I saw his name in the corner of the painting there in the sunset. He wrote his name there. I knew that was for me, that my Father painted that for me. My Father positioned that, put that in the sky for me, and I gave him thanks for it. I began to talk to him about it and told him how beautiful it was and thank you that I was alive to see it and I had eyes to see it and I can enjoy it. And even in the times of pain and sorrow, we can stop at times to absorb the glory of God and hear his voice. Boy, to hear his voice sometimes, as the Bible talks about, his voice could be like the voice of many waters, or those many waters like the Niagara Falls can drown out all the other evil, wicked, ungodly voices that come. All the voices of doubt, all the voices of discouragement, all the voices of defeat. And here this day, God sends a voice to say, thou art my beloved son. In thee, I am well pleased. I need this kind of prayer life. I need to hear from heaven. I need to hear the voice of God from heaven. Because what that means is, that means there's an answer from heaven. Heaven is real. And there's someone really up there. And he spoke out to make sure everybody knew he was up there. But most of all, he wanted Jesus to know he was up there. And when I pray, I need to know that he's up there. I need to hear his voice. I need to answer to my prayers. Now, I don't only want to focus on answer, answer, answer. If I'm learning how to say, I just want to be aware of your presence, I want to practice the presence of God. And then answer of prayer comes along. What a bonus that is. Can you imagine that? So I was praying today. What'd you ask for? Oh, no, just praying. I was talking to him. We got several relationship stories here we could use. Daughter, mom, daughters, father. We could go on. There are different scenarios, mother, son. If that relationship was every single time you heard your child's voice, every time you ever saw them, every time they approached you, it was always like this. How you doing? Got a 20 spot? It's $20 now, you know, it's not $5 anymore. Inflation. Can I have some money? Can you let me hold some? Put it in there. Hey, it's good to see you. Good to see you too. Can I have the keys? Well, you sit down and talk. No, I don't have time. Where's my food? Where's my clothes? Where's this? All expecting and wanting, and only that's only the way the relationship. You know, that is a very draining, one-sided relationship. And you, now God's not like we are as humans in frailty of our flesh, but that is a lopsided relationship. And if all I ever did was like, well, preacher told us to pray, preaching on prayer. Lord, I got bills. Would you help me pay my bills? Lord, I'm not feeling well physically. Would you touch me physically? And that's it. Just ask and ask and ask. And the years go by, and that's all you ever do is ask and ask and ask. And you're never just aware of his presence. And say, you know, let's just sit down and fellowship together. Let's just enjoy one another's company. That's what I mean by when I saw that sunset, I was just thanking God for the beauty of it. And I know who created it, and he made it. And I just assumed and expected and accepted it that he had done it for me. It was for me. Now, if you saw the same sunset, I'm not mad at you that you were in on our little session there, but that was for me. And you could say the same thing. God sent that for you. Hearing God's voice, having that answer, a prayer, acknowledging that prayer was made, acknowledging by answer from a voice. He said, thou art my beloved son, in thee I am well pleased. And here at this moment, Jesus knew he was pleasing the Father. Man, I need to know that. I need to know that. You know, the Bible talks about the book of Galatians, you can get weary in well-doing. We can reap, but we're not, be not weary in well-doing, because you reap if you faint not. What does that mean? A lot of people are fainting. They're falling out. They're quitting. They're not reaping because they're fainting. And they get weary in the doing the well, doing it right, doing it like God said to do. And this is what's so important, that heaven be open and the Holy Spirit be descending or moving. There's a presence of God. And then hear the voice of God. And to know that he's pleased and to know that he's there. And him saying things like, you're my beloved son. Beloved means I love you. I love you. Man, I need to know God loves me. I need to know that. I'm needy. I know y'all are not, but I'm needy. I need these things. I need it more than I need $1 billion. Knowing me, I could burn through $1 billion probably in a couple of years. Maybe faster than that. He said, preacher, I need his power, his presence. I need his love. I need to feel beloved and loved. You know how I can be that way and how I can be reminded of that? Praying, talking to him. You can't talk to him. You say, well, every time I talk to the Lord in prayer, preacher, he always reminds me of my sins. Then get rid of your sin. He can fix that really quick. And then it could be about your relationship and the presence of God. And you could leave the prayer session. Wait, man, I feel like heaven's been open. I feel God moving in my heart. I've heard from heaven, and it's all right now. You ever heard that song? I heard the voice of God. And you need that. And you might not be asking for all those things. Lord, your will be done. I'm content. Or I'd like to have that, but if you don't allow it, then it's all good. And I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing because you're reminding me that you're pleased with me, you love me, you care about me, that I'm here at the right time, the right place, going in the right direction. Amen. You are still in heaven, and I still hear your voice. I can't imagine how heartbreaking it was on that cross when Jesus could not hear the voice of God. And instead of crying out to him, my Father, Boy, my earthly father is dead. And the realization of never being able to talk to him again, it may not set in. Some of you have experienced this. It may not sit in immediately. And there are times, Brother Donnie knows this well, there are times that when it comes, and I know many of you lost your dad. I know many of you have. There are times it'll just hit me like, man, I sure would like to talk to my dad today. Same thing with mom. It just hits you sometimes. Man, I just like to get off the path, shoot on down there towards Piedmont on 88, pull in that 116 Oak Court, go see him. But I can't. And there's Jesus on the cross, and he can't call him Father anymore. So he calls out to him in a generic form as a God, and he's offering himself as a sacrifice. And he feels like he's no doubt been doing the will of God, but now he don't hear, I'm well pleased. He seems to hear nothing. And he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the very fact of the resurrection again opens up heaven. Holy Spirit moves. The stone is rolled away. And he comes forth out of the grave by the resurrecting power of his Father. Oh, to hear heaven's voice. Hear the voice of God. Be known that I'm his and he is mine. And hear things like, well done. Keep on keeping on, son. Keep on keeping on, child of God. Keep on keeping on, daughter. Stay on course, amen. Don't give up. Keep on. I'm pleased. Only Luke mentions this. What happened in this verse, like this verse 21. Look at verse 21 again. And praying, y'all see that? Luke's the only one that caught that. Real quickly. With all this thought in mind, there is more about Jesus' prayer life that gives us a thought here, that there was honor that he would always give in his prayer life. And it's revealed in John chapter 14. You could turn, we'll be trying to quick as we possibly can. John 14, verse 10. An honor in his prayer life as he's praying in this verse in Luke 3. And the heavens open and the Holy Ghost descends and he moves. And then he hears the voice of God. Now, we see later on in his prayer life, as he no doubt prays again, you don't just pray one time and done, because you want to keep talking to him. You want to keep speaking to him. You do have needs and we want answers to our prayers. But look at John 14, where he honors God in this prayer life. He said, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. See what he's doing? He's honoring his Father, saying he's the one that does the work. He's the one that answers the prayers. He's the power behind the miracles. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father, and that the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. See what you've seen, the power of God moving. For those very work's sake, believe that God is working in my life. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall, that I do, shall he do also. And look, now this is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he's talking to you. If you're listening to me right now, I'm repeating this for you. He's talking to you. He says, greater works than these shall ye do. You see that? Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. You and I are going to have access to greater works than what he's trying to challenge us. I'm going to my Father for you. I'm going to intercede for you. I'm going to interpret your prayers for you. I'm going to be right there at the throne of God, making living, Hebrews 7:25, ever living to make intercession for you. You can go boldly to the throne of grace. You can pray over your bologna sandwich today. Access to the throne of God. You can pray for the biggest burden in your life, that you're about to lose your job tomorrow. You're getting ready to face cancer from the doctor. You can take those same burdens to him and do greater works than all the things he was talking about. He said, I want you to understand, I'm going to the Father for you. I couldn't do this on my own, Brother Jeremy. Jesus went to the Father for me. I have access to the Father now through the Son. And he's honoring the Father in his prayer life. And that's what he teaches us to do. Hallowed be thy name. He wants us to honor the Father when we pray. And look what he says here. Verse 13, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The Father can be glorified in what the Son is doing. And if I honor that way, if I could pray that way without always wanting what I want, Lord, may help me to ask as a person, Preacher Brian, help me to ask in the name of Jesus that the Father may be glorified in the Son with faith that whatever I ask, if I ask it that way, he could do it. That would change our prayer lives. But my problem is getting over the fence of wanting it the way I want it. Want it like I think it should be. And then, even then, sometimes I want to put my fingerprint on it and I want glory. I want part of the honor when it should all be his. Verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What a powerful thing. Then he challenges us. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, I'm out. Can't do that. I'm not interested in that, Lord. I just want answers. Oh, you don't want the relationship. You don't want to walk with him. Because he said, I got to see commandments kept. Not 10 commandments, the commandments of Christ in the New Testament. Some of the hardest ones is love your enemies. Love those who despitefully use you. Those kind of commandments. And he's pointing us to honor the Father in our prayer lives and give glory to him and pray according to his will. And then it reveals to us a habit to follow. In Luke chapter number 11, those disciples asked him, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And here's what he said. When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Boy, we could get hung up here. But you know what the problem is? Most people, you and I are more concerned about our little kingdoms than we are God's. And it's killing our prayer lives. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Give us this day by day, our daily bread. Man, we want the whole world mapped out this year. I want to know I got the money, the food. I want it all. I can't have much faith to live day by day. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And this was a pattern that we need to follow in such a way that it's like a habit to us to follow and to pray. And the key part of it all, as mentioned in Matthew 6 as well, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. If you could have that in your prayer life, where you could have heaven open, the Holy Ghost moving, and hearing the voice of God, knowing that you are his and he is yours, and that you are in his will and you are pleasing him in your life, and God begins to send answers and show and reveal himself to you. It wouldn't be just your first prayer or your last prayer, but you would want to pray again and again and again. And again, prayer is hard work. It's in competition and conflict with the flesh all the time. Our prayer lives are. If we would spend more time focusing on his glory and heaven opened and feeling the presence of God and hearing his voice, then when we get to the end, then we might say, oh yeah, I almost forgot why I even came into the room here. Want to know if you could give me this, give me that. Instead of coming in the room, gimme, gimme, gimme. And you children know this, even though we might be kind of evilly minded here. You parents understand this very much. The child's coming with a need in mind or a want. Hey, mama, you're looking good today. I love you. Boy, you smell so good. Oh, I love you so much. I love you, mama. I love you, daddy. And if you got into that relationship, wouldn't it be crazy? Said they just give you a big old hug and walk out the door and don't even remember that they were coming after a $20 bill. They forgot because they enjoyed the relationship time with you. And what a joy it would be on the other end, say, the parent comes and says, I tell you, I've enjoyed spending time with you. Just enjoy your presence. I love you so much. Just had something on my mind. Here's a $100 bill. He's like, wow. But instead, we like, hey, how you doing, Brother Don? It's good to see you. Can I borrow $5 again? I know I asked you about 10 minutes ago, but it's just tough out there. Do you see the difference of the chemistry of the relationship there? Man, if I could just focus on prayer being a time of relationship, spending time with my Father, instead of always asking and asking, gimme, 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 it'd make the whole relationship so much different. I think it would create what prayer is really supposed to be, where the heavens could be opened and not closed anymore. Sister Virginia, I want you to come. Are the heavens closed in your prayer life? Do you feel like things are closed down? Maybe you ought to come and pray tonight. Say, Lord, I'm aware. For the first time in a long time, I'm not only aware, but I'm admitting heavens are brass. I can't get my prayers through. I feel cold and closed out. Pray for the Holy Spirit to move in your prayer life, to feel His presence, to hear the voice of God again. How long has it been since you felt that when you come to pray? And if your prayer life's so shallow, all it is Lord, and He gives it to you, and you go, thank you. Boy, that's a very shallow prayer life. Then the next time, I'm back. Appreciate it. Man, you're better than the ATM. Oh, my. Change in dynamics. I don't know where it got twisted up. But modern-day Christianity, a version of prayer, is just like asking God for money all the time, just like He's just a spare tire. He's just a kickstand of our religion. It needs to be much deeper than this. So as she plays, bow your heads. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar. Would you pray? God, would you open the heavens? I'm tired of them being closed. Would you open up my prayer life so I could have heaven opened and I could feel your presence, the Holy Spirit moving in my life, and people that I've been asking you to save, the people that are physically going through infirmities and the sickness not being healed and not being moved. Maybe it's not on God's fault inside. Maybe it's our time to acknowledge that we need to change the way we approach prayer. How long has it been since you heard God's voice, His Spirit speaking to you, hearing His voice through the words of the Bible, the Scriptures coming alive to you, to spend time in prayer and feel His presence and to be acknowledged and have answers and feel like, man, that's my Heavenly Father I just spent time with. Is your prayer life like that? Do you want it to be? You know, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. Father, I pray that you would awaken our prayer lives, mine included. May we beseech you, beg you, seek you for this presence, this communion, this relationship of prayer and talking with you. May the heavens no longer be closed. May your ears be open. And Lord, your prayer, the prayer we made, that you will pay attention to it and you would open the windows of heaven, as they say. Lord, may the Holy Spirit move in our prayer life. in our personal walk. May we hunger. Lord, I can't manufacture revival and I can't make our people. And it's evident, Lord, we're living in some very dark, dry days spiritually. But if one, just one, would really hunger for the presence of God in their life, it could bring true revival to our church, to our community. To feel your presence, for the Holy Ghost to move, and to hear the voice of God. And Lord, may we honor you through our prayer lives and give you glory and give thanks to what you have answered. And Lord, if you never answer another prayer, just being around you and being in your presence and knowing you are our Heavenly Father, Lord, should be enough. Lord, may us we take a hold of this scripture tonight and make this a habit, a pattern of our prayer life, that you are our Heavenly Father and not some deity or God in a far, far away, distant place. And may we feel your presence. And may you awaken and revive our prayer life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.